message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
My pleasure to welcome you to God's presence this morning. We want to thank God for His auspicious presence that is very touchable. We can almost touch His presence in our midst. Very, very feelable presence in our midst this morning. And I trust God that all that concerns you will remain blessed forever in Jesus' name. We pray concerning this nation, Nigeria, that God Himself will step into our case in Jesus' name. The grace to be able to do things right and properly, God will give to our government in Jesus' name. Can I hear you say a big amen? Can I hear you say a big amen? God will Himself step in to our matter in Jesus' name. What others are doing with ease, what smaller nations are doing with ease, will not become a big deal for us in this nation. Say what other nations are doing without stress, you don't even know they are doing anything, will not become a problem for us in our nation in Jesus' name. And poverty and corruption shall become a thing of the past in the name of Jesus. Divine assistance for diverse wonders. Divine assistance for diverse wonders. As fast as possible, we have taken so much time to worship God and pray, and then we'll move on at this time. Divine assistance for diverse wonders. What is divine assistance? What is divine assistance? Divine assistance simply means receiving help, favor, and benefits from God directly or through human vessels or agents. Divine assistance simply means receiving of help, receiving of favor, receiving of benefits from God directly or through human vessels or agents. It also means to be lifted, to be assisted, means to be lifted, elevated, and decorated. To be assisted means for somebody to be uplifted or be lifted, be elevated, and be decorated. All this brings about diverse. When a person is lifted, a wonder. When a person is decorated, it's a wonder. When a person, look at Esther, when Esther was lifted, despite the fact that she was an orphan, it was a wonder to everybody. When Joseph was elevated, it was a wonder to everybody. When David was uplifted, it was a shock to everybody. And that is why I know that your life will be a wonder to everybody in Jesus' name. Psalm 71 verse 7 says, I'm a living wonder because thou art my strong refuge. I'm as a living wonder because thou art my strong refuge. God will make you a wonder to your family and to your nation. Why is divine assistance necessary for you to become a wonder? Why is it necessary for me to receive assistance before I can become a wonder in life? Number one is that man cannot achieve anything without God. John 15 verse 5. John chapter 15 verse 5. I'm the vine, you are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Without God, we can do nothing. The Bible says, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So it's of the mercy of God that anything can be achieved by man. A man can become nothing except God has helped him to become it. But two, why is divine assistance necessary? We are designed by heaven to be assisted. The reason, one of the major things about heaven is that heaven did not create anything that he will not need his assistance again. Everything that God created needed God's assistance. Everyone that God created needed God's assistance. Everyone that was created by God needed the help and the assistance of God. Three, why is divine assistance necessary? Because without divine assistance, you will be resisted. Without a man being assisted, that man will be resisted. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, he said, for a door effectual is open unto me, but there are many adversaries. Great door is open unto me, but there are many adversaries. So our God is a God that opens doors, but there are many enemies that want to shut the door. God is a God that wants to make you a wonder, but the enemy does not want you to be a wonder. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. He's going everywhere looking for somebody he can stop from being a wonder. I say this prophetically today. No power on earth or anywhere shall be able to stop you from becoming a wonder this year. I said no power shall stop you from being a wonder this year. Let me hear your loudest amen. Every man or woman will be resisted except he's assisted. Every man or woman that is not assisted will be resisted. Until you are assisted, you'll be resisted. That's why you need to seek for the assistance of God. That's why you need to long for the assistance of God. I don't know how you feel, but I don't feel like a strong man without divine assistance. I don't feel like I'm anything except the forces of heaven back me up. I say this prophetically today. You are receiving divine assistance that will turn your life into a wonder. Still in the foundation this morning. What are the keys to divine assistance for diverse wonders? We'll give you three keys under this particular point, and I'll also give you three hindrances that can hinder you from being assisted by heaven. And we'll wrap this up this morning. What are the keys that will make heaven to assist a man? Number one is fervent prayers. Fervent prayers. Fervent prayers. Prayer is an age-long tool for calling for help from heaven. Every man or woman that desires that wonders in life must be prayerful. Prayerful. It's either you are prayerful or you are playing fool. It's either you are prayerful or you are just playing. There's a woman in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 7. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 7, where in verse 1, the Bible says that men always ought to pray and not to faint. We was talking about a woman who went to a judge. The Bible says, saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. This woman had nobody to help her. She had no husband. She had nobody to support her. And she came unto that judge, who doesn't naturally just help people anyhow, and said, avenge me of my adversaries. And he would not for a while. Somebody say for a while. He will not assist her just for a while. He will not turn his face to her for a while. But afterwards, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? That story is simply saying, if a person is praying and is praying persistently enough, he will get the desired help. If a person is going to God persistently enough, the help he or she desires shall come. If the person is running to God consistently enough, that required help and assistance will not elude him or her. In Acts chapter 12, verse 5 to 7, Acts chapter 12, verse 5, you know the story very well of how Peter was arrested and put into jail. And the Bible said the church prayed continually. And Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto him. Some people will wonder, why do we pray so much? Why do we pray? Pray, pray, pray all the time. Why do we pray so much? This is what we are doing. Peter was in prison. And the church prayed continually for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. They put two soldiers there to keep him, to ensure he doesn't escape. Bound with two chains. And the keeper before the door kept the prison. And behold, someone say behold. That's what prayer does. Suddenly, prayer does something that will make men to behold you. Prayer does something that will make men to be aghast and surprised. You see, when you are praying, there's no full stop. Your issue has not yet reached a full stop case. I say, and behold, let's go back there. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, rise up quickly. And his chain fell off his hands. That is how the chains holding you down will fall off your hands today. You don't have more time. You will see. Peter walked out of prison like a star on the platform of prayer. Everybody was aghast. The man with chain down. They had two soldiers beside him. How come? How come? Assistance came to him quickly. That is how God will send assistance to you without delay. Angels will appear to assist you. Angels like men will appear to assist you. Can I hear you say a big amen? If I were you, I would say a big amen. And the angel said unto him, guard thyself and bind up thy sandals. So he did, and he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. He posed out of prison. He posed out of prison. He bounced out. Nobody could touch him. Nobody could resist him. Because why? He was assisted. That is how my God will assist you today. As you continue in the place of prayer, you receive divine assistance. As you continue in the place of prayer, you receive divine assistance. If you can resort to prayer, instead of complaining, things will get better. James chapter 5 verse 16 to 18. James chapter 5 verse 16 to 18 explains to us how Elijah was able to control things through prayer. Confess your fault one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availed much. Elijah was a man subject to like passion as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. He sees a man like you and I sees rain for 3 years, 6 months. A man like you and I sees, he said, it cannot rain for 3 years, 6 months. And it did not rain. Not a drop of rain for 3 years, 6 months because a man said it. That is what prayer can do. Prayer brings you in charge. And one of our assignments as pastors is to ensure that the fire on your prayer altar doesn't go down. That the fire on your prayer altar does not fizzle out. According to Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Verse 13 particularly. I pray for somebody here today. The fire on your personal prayer altar will never fizzle out in Jesus' name. He said the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar and it shall never go out. The fire on your prayer altar will never go out. If I were you, I would say louder, amen. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 12 also explains to us also on this issue of prayer. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me and ye shall go and pray unto me and I will what? I will hearken to you. Heaven will hearken to you. I say heaven will hearken to you. Do you know why it looks as if our prayers are not answered sometimes? Because our persistence in prayer is weak. Our persistence in, if you can persist, devil will stop, we give way, we let go. Devil is not as strong as you think he is. But once he sees fire, once he sees your determination that you are desperate, you need this thing from God, he will ensure that he leaves it for you. Number two, major key to receiving divine assistance from heaven is committed service and committed stewardship. Committed service and committed stewardship. And in this month of February, one of our major emphases is on stewardship. In Exodus 22 verse 25, Exodus 23 verse 25. Exodus chapter 23 verse 25. And you shall serve the Lord thy God, and he will bless your bread and thy water, and he will take sickness away from the midst of thee. So God is a God that blesses those that serve him. When you serve God, you qualify for assistance. Stewardship attracts rewardship. Stewardship attracts rewardship. You know a steward, for some of us that have been privileged to go to hotels before, for some of us that have been privileged to go to hotels before, you know that there are people they call stewards that serve. You press a bell and they come, or you just call them, hello, come here. Then they serve you. It is the same way we are to God. We are stewards before God because of, come here, go and do this thing for me. And go and switch off that fan. You are go and sing a nice song. Let people be blessed. We are stewards. So when you serve God, you have qualified for reward. And one of the rewards of stewardship is assistance. God assisting you. God helping you. So stewardship qualifies you for rewardship. Stewardship qualifies you for rewardship. So who is a steward? A steward is someone serving God sincerely and consistently. A steward is somebody serving God consistently and sincerely. And what is commitment? You know, I said it. I'm talking about committed stewardship. What is commitment? Commitment is a state of being willing to give a lot of your time, your work, energy, your talent to something. Commitment is about giving of your time, your energy, your talent, your resources to something. And so, committed stewardship means being willing to use a lot of your divine endowment in promoting God's kingdom. Committed stewardship means you are using your time, are using your energy, you are using your resources to promote the work of God, to promote the advancement and the enlargement of the work of God. I was telling our pastors, I said, don't blame God for blessing me like he's doing little by little. Go and look at some of the things that he has helped us do in the past, from the churches that God helped us to plant by God's grace before this church started. We were given next to nothing to go and start the church. The rent of the church was 900,000. They gave us 300,000, my wife and I. Take this 300,000. And if this 300,000 get lost, you get lost with it. No instrument, no chairs, nothing. Rent is 900,000 per year. So go and start this church with nothing. Just take this chain. If you mistakenly lose it, you are lost forever. And the church standing, still standing, very gidigba till today. Because God used some few committed children to launch and dive to the work. Your level of commitment to God's work will determine the level of the assistance you receive. Rent alone, 900,000, and you are given just no instruments. If you want to start a church, an average church, at least in those days, not now, in those days, at least an average, you need at least about ₦1 million to buy instruments alone, to talk of other logistics. So when you are committed to the work of God, there is no way he not assist you. You are committed with your resources. You are committed with your life. You are committed with everything that you have. Then gradually and gradually and gradually, he will begin to assist you. I prophesy to somebody today, God will give you the spirit of commitment. I say God will give you the spirit of commitment. In Psalms 92 verse 13 and 14. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the course of their God. Psalm 92, 13 and 14. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the course of their God. Verse 14 says, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Those that are committed to God's work. He said eventually in their life they will be fat and they will flourish. They will flourish. Why? Because they are committed. 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 And so they will not be omitted. If you are committed, there is no way you will be omitted. Somebody say a big amen. Your yieldedness to God in service provokes you. That's why one of my passions in life is to see us committed. There is no way you can be committed to God and bite your finger in regret. It's not possible. I'm telling you that. It is not, it's just a matter of time. You cannot be committed to God and his assignment. And then 1 year from now, 2 years from now, or sometime from now, you're not saying, and I regret serving God. It is impossible. It can't happen. At the same time, you cannot do haphazard service or not even serve at all and expect to get the same dividend with those that have served faithfully. Somebody say a big amen. Somebody say a big amen. Somebody say a big amen. So the more committed you are, the more of the blessings of God that you receive. The more committed you are, the more of the grace of God that God just spoke to me about the scripture now. Open your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. That just came to me now. Malachi chapter 17, chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Malachi 3, 17. We'll read together, 1, 2, go. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day, when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth it not. There is always a gap between those that serve God and those that serve him not. There is always a difference. That's why when I see those, many of us here, serving God passionately, sincerely, I laugh because I know. I am certain. I am not 99% certain. I am 100% certain that your future will be all right. Somebody say a big amen. Somebody say a big amen. But three, which looks a little related to the second one, but is higher than the second one. It's called passion for God and his kingdom. First one, key to divine assistance, I said, is fervent prayer. But two, I said committed stewardship. Number three, I said passion for God and his kingdom. Passion for God and his kingdom is higher than commitment. You can be committed to your wife, but you might not be passionate about her. You can be committed to your job. At least you go to the job every day, but you might not be passionate. Passion is what makes you to do something without looking for reward. You do it. Haven't you seen people that They have never in their life thought for once of what to gain from ministering, from singing, or from preaching, or from doing. They just want to do it because that is their passion. Everybody using those that they when they want to cook for people, they do it. They probably might not have thought of transforming it into a canteen or into. They just like cooking, they like giving people delicacies. You come to their house, they ask you, "What do you want to eat? What do you feel like eating? Is it yam? Is it porridge? Is it yam and beans? Is it geese dodo? What is it that you feel like? What is it that you feel like eating?" That is their passion. And your passion gives you your portion. Your passion is what gives you your portion. Anything you are passionate about in life gives you your portion in life. That's why I always tell people to follow their passion. Follow their passion. Now, on this issue of assistance from heaven, when you are passionate about God and the work of God, there is no way God will not be helping you and assisting you. There is no way God will not be helping you and assisting you. Once you are part, that is your. Let me show you signs of passion for God. Number one is you love God intensely. Your heart pants after God daily. Your heart pants after God on a daily basis. That's what shows passion. So you love Him daily. That's A. That's 3A. 3B, signs of passion is defense of God's name. You can almost do anything to defend God's name and to defend His kingdom. You hear people talking about God anyhow. It's as if you should bring out a knife and just do something. You are very passionate about God's name. God's kingdom. You don't want people to use nonsense to rob God's name or to rob God's church. Choose passion for God. 3, sign of passion for God is careless giving. Careless giving. You are just giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. God's kingdom. Number 4, sign of passion for God is passion for souls. Your friend is not, she's born again, but she doesn't come to church often. You pursue her. "My dear, my friend, let's go to church. You can't stay like this. You will soon backslide like this, so let's go to church." You even pay her transfer fare. And they say evangelism, you are one of the first few to get there. That shows passion, 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 passion. If you are the kind of person that loves your work, loves your business so much, doing so well, but when it comes to the work of God, you are so like cadastical and are so weak, it means there's no passion for God's work. That there's no passion for God's work. God's passion for God's work makes you to trek to church when there's no transport fare. You trek. Transport. If you have exam and you don't have transport fare, won't you trek to school? If you have exam and you don't have transport fare, you won't trek to school. All right, no problem. I know you. I know the truth, and you know I know the truth. I know the truth, and you know I know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John chapter 8, verse 32. Praise the Lord. I said, quickly this morning, ladies and gentlemen, your passion, your passion, your passion makes God to assist you. When God sees how passionate you are, when God sees how passionate you are, and here, anyway, I will not talk much into that. Next week is our family intervention service. I'll be talking more about that. Please don't mix next week Sunday for anything. In the family intervention service, word we drop here. Word we drop. Word we drop here next week Sunday. But let's not go into that so that we can have more time. Now, quickly this morning, beloved, hindrances to divine assistance to diverse wonders. What are the what can hinder a man not to be able to receive wonders from God? Number one, this one is very, very deep. Wrong name can hinder a person from being assisted. Once your name is a name that has problem or a name that is not on point, there is no way God will want to assist you. Your name is you. That's why you must try to find out the deep meaning of your name. You know, Jacob, his life could not change until his name changed. Genesis 32, 24 to 28. Genesis 32, 24 to 28. Until Jacob's name was changed to Israel, his name, his life could not change. The Bible says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. Now look at this. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go. I need assistance. My life can't continue like this. If my progress is like this, when will I, by the time I'm 60, what will I become then? This progress is not okay. I need assistance." And then he said, And he said, what is your name? Because something is disturbing me from helping you. What is your name? And he said, Jacob, no name. Then he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. No! Can't be a supplanter. You can't be a deceiver. Can't be your name. I can't help such a name. Your name will now be Israel, for you are now a prince. Somebody say amen. And thou hast power with God and with men, and has prevailed. Somebody say a big amen. Amen. Your name has an effect on your destiny. Do you know you don't have two lives? You can't toy with your life. You can't toy with your life and say, that's the name that my great grandfather gave me. Is this your life today? You have this is your life. This is your life. Once you sense that a name is not of God, it's not contributing for your life, discard it. If you refuse to discard it, it will retard you. It will retard you. Your name matters to your destiny. Your name matters to your future. You can't be greater than your name. Your life cannot be greater than your name. And that's why many lives have been frustrated. They pray very well. They fast very well. They do everything very well, but things are not working. Why? Their name is suppressing them. It's suppressing them. It's depressing them. And it's pushing them down. So, work on your name. Go back, ask your mother, that's your local name. What is the full meaning of his name? Or if you notice that it's not on point, you drop it. You drop it. You drop it like you drop a piece of rag. I can't do it. I can't handle this. This is not my name. I am now wise. Prayer for somebody here today is that God is going to give you a new name. Say, God is going to give you a new name. God is going to give you a new name. And this new name will attract blessings to you. This new name will attract glory into your life. Number two, hindrance. Major hindrance to divine assistance is wrong association. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15 33. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. You must realize, ladies and gentlemen, that your association affects your life. People you relate with, people that are close to you, determines how far your life can go. You can't just be a friend of everybody. It's a fool that is a friend of everybody. One of the signs that you are a fool is that everybody is my friend. Not everybody can be your friend. Because some people's life does not tally with your life. You know that not everybody inside prison is inside prison because he offended. Years ago, my wife remembered this story. Before this church started, the church we were privileged to be pastoring. A boy came to me, one of our boys in the church. He's traveling, well-known boy in the church. Said he's traveling to the UK, and I prayed for him. I said, God bless you. So 1 week, I didn't hear from him. 2 weeks, I didn't hear from him. 3 weeks, how come this boy went to UK? I've been to UK before. It's just 6 hours by flight. How come this guy is not calling me? And all of a sudden, I think about 1 month or thereabout, he called me. As he called me, how are you? I've been waiting for you. Why did you call me? How was your flight? Did you go by ship? Is it by flight? Welcome. He said, I'm now in prison in so country. I'm now in prison. I said, how did you told me you are going to UK. How come you are now in this country? What is going on? He said, sir, I can't explain. I just need your prayer. I need your assistance. So I started praying. God told me. In my heart of heart, I believe by the Holy Spirit, and I took both a ticket and I flew to that country. I arrived in that country. I spent 3 nights in the hotel. I was praying on a mantle, just an handkerchief. But the church did not fund my flight. I bought the flight with my money, the ticket with my money. I spent 3 nights in an hotel. Lakoto Bakatikalado, Ilatuada. Jesus, mercy, Lord. I don't know what this boy has done, but Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So on the fourth day, I went out and I went to the station where he was. When they brought him out, fine boy in Nigeria, I couldn't recognize him again. That look, he was looking so lean. You remember the story very well? Looking so lean. I asked him, how did you get here? He said, actually, my friends were doing some ATM something in this country. So when I got here, just to greet them on my way to UK, I said, I should branch here. As I got here, we went to ATM and then they did some things. I just stood like this. So, I did not go near them. I just like this. Then they got some money from the ATM. I just saw police everywhere. And police just gathered us and we are here. I say, you this boy. Despite all I've been telling you, Despite all the teachings, you followed road gang, bad gang. Go and do ATM scam in a foreign country. You come back to Nigeria and then you now be like, do like a big boy. The big fool you are. But because of a father's heart and because of the mercy of God, I handed over the mantle, prayed on with fasting for 3 days to him. I went back to my hotel the following day. I came back to Nigeria. And in about a few days from there, the police left him and he came back to Nigeria. And he's still here. I saw him some time ago. He's married now. He's a settled boy. I think his brain is more settled. Now, what am I trying to say? Friends destroy. If not that that boy was lucky enough to see God's help through a small boy like me, he would have died in jail. The police told me his jail time is 17 years. They told me face to face, this boy is going for 17 years. It's 17 years. Watch your friends if you want to get to a good place. Watch your friends if you want to get to the right place in life. If you associate wrongly, they will punch. You know how tie a puncture when nail enter it? You just hear shh. We punch on your life. To walk, just walking aimlessly with people that you have not checked out their life to see where they are going. Going about in the night with them. Going to different places with them. They are my friends. Say, show me your friend. I will say who you are. If I can see your friend, I can predict your lifestyle. If I can see your friend, I can predict your lifestyle. When now listen to this. God refused to help some people in the scripture because of people that they were associated with. A man like Abraham did not get God's help and direction for his life until he was separated from Lot. Until he was separated from Lot, he could not know that he was supposed to access the north, the south, the east, and the west. According to Genesis 13, verse 14 to 16. Genesis 13, 14 to 16. Until you are separated from the wrong people, you can't enjoy God's assistance. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot has separated from what? Oh God. Are you sleeping, beloved? Can we read it together? One, two, go. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thy eye and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Go on, please. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Until Lot left Abraham. Abraham's life was jagga-jagga, rubbish life. His life was not settled. Nothing tangible was in his life. Nothing substantial. No clear-cut direction for his life. There are some friends that I had way back in those years. If they were still my friends till this year or till some years ago, I will never, ever be here. Ever. You deliberately cut off from some people because of the assistance you need from God. You deliberately, it's deliberate or it's intentional. It's intentional. You do it intentionally. By Emije. Oh, in my place. the cloth I'm wearing, it's a white one. No, don't put palm oil there. Oh. Don't put palm oil. Don't destroy this cloth. Oh, it's a white cloth. Oh. I know where I'm going. Oh. It's not as if your brain has freezed. How is it possible that you know that this person is not doing the right thing? You continue to pursue. You continue to follow the person. You continue to follow the gang. Associate yourself from those that will not allow God to look at you. Beloved, I'll just take one more because of time. Hindrance to divine assistance to ever's wonders. Number three, hindrance. I said number one is what? Number two. Number three, sinful lifestyle. A sinful lifestyle will always hinder assistance from heaven. Sin makes a man to separate himself from God and makes him lack assistance. Sin makes a man to sink. Sin, S-I-N. Sink, S-I-N-K. Sin makes a man to sink. You will not sink in life. And look at this in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 25. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 25. Your iniquities have turned away these things. What are these things? The assistance. And your sins have withholding good things from you. Hey, I want to help you. I want to assist you. It is because of the sin I'm seeing in your life. It is because of the little things you are doing secretly. That's what has not made me to assist you. No, when we say sin, people think that when we say sin, we are talking of fornication, adultery, going to babalawo, or those are high level. There are still some sins that you might not count as big sin, but they are sin. For example, browsing pornography website is a sin. You are browsing just like everybody's browsing. What is a sin? It's a sin. Gossiping on about others, discussing other people's matter to the extent that it is detrimental to their development. It affects their personality. It affects their ego. When they hear it, they can be crying. It's a sin. Stopping other people's promotion or progress is the same. Somebody is supposed to do so well. You now cut the person to size so that the person will not go up. It's a sin. It's not only smoking that is a sin. You have to search and see. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts 3, 19. The Bible said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Well, good news is this. Whenever you depart from the pathway of life, the time of refreshing always comes. That time of refreshing is the time of assistance, whereby God gives you Aaron and Hur, whereby God gives you assistance, whereby God gives you help, whereby God gives you favor. You turn your back on that former lifestyle and you say, "No, I've had enough this." Good news is this. Every one of us has an opportunity to come to God for mercy. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. I'm sorry. I know that in this one or two areas, you know me, that I'm not really, I love you, but I'm sorry. And then God shuts
out. Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.